Beloved congregation of the Lord, the psalmist in Psalm 119, in verse 19 says, I am a stranger in the earth. And there are times in a believer's life when we are in our right place that we echo that we feel like strangers here on this earth. And the question would arise then, well, if you are a stranger here, then where is home? Where is home if you're a stranger here? And the answer for believers is, home is heaven. That's a longing answer and a happy answer. Home is heaven. That is my Father's house. That's the home of God's children. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now, in his human nature. It's going to be our focus this afternoon. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ from Acts chapter 1 verse 9 and from Lord's Day 18, questions 46 through 49. Acts 1 verse 9, this is God's word. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And Lord's Day 18, question 46. How do you understand these words? He ascended into heaven. And the answer is that Christ, inside of his disciples, was taken up from the earth into heaven. That he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Question 47, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world as he has promised? And the answer, Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Question 48, but if his human nature is not present wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from each other? The answer, not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Question 49. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? The answer, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. And thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not the things on earth. So with the Lord's help then, our theme is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And first we consider the very fact that the Lord Jesus is gone to heaven. And secondly, the objections are cleared up for us. And thirdly, the advantages for believers. So first, the Lord Jesus is gone to heaven. After his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared many times to his disciples, but he didn't dwell among them like he did before. He's not preaching to big crowds anymore. He's not healing sick people anymore. Already 40 days have passed now since the tomb was opened and he arose, and now the time has come for the Lord Jesus to depart from this earth. And he takes his disciples, they're out near Jerusalem, and he gave them their orders. He promised them the power of the Holy Spirit would be given them in just a few days, and then they must testify him beginning at Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the whole world. And what a weighty message that is, isn't it? The final will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then the Lord is taken up from before their eyes. Slowly he went up, and the disciples are amazed. They're gazing after their master. That's what the angel said to them. Why are you gazing up into heaven? They'd seen so many of his miracles. They often unexpected things happened. They'd been amazed at his resurrection, and now their master is rising up before them, up to heaven. Acts 1 verse 9. The cloud comes between them and hides them from their sight. And you remember, children, that the prophet Elijah went up to heaven in a fiery chariot. But the greater than Elijah, the Lord Jesus Christ, went up to his Father on a cloud of heavenly glory. Lazarus went up to heaven. It says of him that the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, but that was only his soul, and he was carried. But the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, rides by himself in his own power and his majesty to God's heaven. The disciples saw it with their own eyes and didn't just imagine it. Jesus went to heaven with his glorified human body. Acts 1 verse 11. With his pierced hands and feet. That's how he went to heaven. That's how he is in heaven now. With those same pierced hands and pierced feet. And by faith, we believers, we receive this as a fact from Holy Scripture. It was foretold in Psalm 24, which we read together, and Psalm 68 too. And what an exaltation this was for Jesus. He goes over from this sin-cursed earth back to holy heaven. He now has rest from the battle, and he receives a royal homecoming. The angels received him there with gladness. Those angels that had been so often present in his ministry, they had known all his works. They had helped him at times. You remember that angels announced his birth to Joseph and Mary. An angel brought glad tidings to the shepherds. A multitude of angels sang his praises. Glory to God in the highest. After his temptation in the desert, angels ministered to him. In Gethsemane, an angel strengthened him. After the resurrection, an angel brought glad tidings to the disciples. And here, at his glorious entrance into heaven, the angels receive him. Oh, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ has much to say to us here still on this earth. For a sinful human being clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ with a true faith, what great comfort this is. First of all, Jesus Christ's ascension tells us there is indeed a heaven. It's not only an earth where we must bear our cross, but there's also a heaven where there is eternal rest. Now, some people call this earth a valley of tears because of the fact that there's often many times of sorrow and grief and weeping on this earth. But we must be careful when we speak that way. Let's never belittle God's grace, like when we say, there's nothing good on this earth, because the Lord gives us many blessings also here. And yet, though there is much sadness and many tears, there is a bright future for the children of God. A true believer doesn't wish to always stay here. This present earth is not our lasting dwelling place. This is where the whole creation groans because of sin. And we have to deal with sin inside of us and all around us. And a Christian is a person who's always going against the stream, swimming upstream, as it were. So it's a great comfort to know there is a place of final rest from this. A comfort to know there is a heaven. A heaven that is so completely opposite to this sin-filled earth, this sin-cursed earth. And we don't know exactly where that heaven is, but we know that it is the place where the triune God lives, where the souls of the saved people are praising and thanking God forever, where angels are shouting constantly, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." And the Lord Jesus speaks of heaven as my Father's house, a place with many mansions, but there's much that is unknown to us. But we do know that heaven is a place of rest. a place of undisturbed blessedness. And God fills that place with His glory and with His love. There God is praised constantly and perfectly. The presence of Almighty God is its spring of joy in heaven. That's where Jesus is now. And it is really the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes heaven, heaven. If He were not there, it wouldn't be heaven. One day, dear believers, we shall see Him there in His splendor and His beauty. There is a heaven. And there is an ascension. There is a way from this sinful earth to heaven. Heaven would be meaningless to us if it were closed to sinners. And at one time, the Lord God did close heaven. But now, the door is opened again. There is an ascension, not only for the Lord Jesus Christ, but also for the benefit of the saved. In heaven, a place is being prepared for all those who are in Christ by faith. Jesus is there. And He continues to work there for your interest. He's not in heaven just resting. He doesn't say, well, my work is all done now. I have nothing more to do. I'm finished with those people on earth. No, He's gone to prepare a place for us. And we don't know how. But believers know that the Lord Jesus did not leave His disciples behind like orphans, as He promised them. Dear believer, Jesus Christ right now is thinking of you as He prepares the place for you. In your work, in your struggles, in your weariness, in your sorrow, He's busy preparing a place for you. And when you come to the end of your journey and you go to that place, then the place that Jesus bought and prepared for you will be ready for you. He's there for your interest, for your good, but your place is not quite ready. And you are not quite prepared for that place. You will be ready when your place is ready. You'll be ready when He returns. He will return when His work is done. And then He says, I will take you to be with Me, that where I am, you may be also. Yes, Jesus really is ascended to heaven. That's our first thought. The second thought is this: objections cleared up. What a beautiful truth. What amazing doctrine this is of Jesus in heaven. Christ's ascension. But it seems there's a problem. Satan is always coming with objections. And he usually finds us quite ready to listen to his objections. Because objections live in our own hearts too. He's always coming with objections. He's been doing that since the very beginning. You remember? In the Garden of Eden, he caused Adam and Eve to have doubts. Did God really say, you can't eat of that tree? Really? Well, God knows that when you eat of that tree, you'll be just like God. And Adam and Eve fell for it and believed Him. And their peace was gone. But also, when it comes to Christ's resurrection, Satan has objections for us to consider. Jesus told His disciples, I will be with you even unto the end of this age, unto the end of the world. Now, those disciples died before the end of the world. But what about Jesus? Didn't He tell His church, I will always be with you? And now He's gone to heaven. He broke His promise. He's not with you, says Satan. See, here you are in all your grief and sweat, and Jesus is resting in heaven. He did not keep His promise. And that means you can't trust Him. Those are the kind of objections that Satan raises and that find ready acceptance often in our hearts, but that objection is soon removed. Remember one thing. Satan is always silenced with the truth of Scripture. That's what Jesus did in the desert, remember? It is written. We could say the same thing. Jesus is God and man. Jesus had a divine nature and a human nature. In his human nature, as a human, Jesus is gone to heaven. But his divine nature is everywhere. With respect to his Godhead and majesty and grace and spirit, he's never absent. Not for a single moment does he ever forsake even one of his people. Now, we can't fathom that as human beings. We can only be in one place at a time. We can't be in Niagara and Lethbridge, Alberta at the same time. Jesus' human body has the same limitations as our bodies. If his body is in heaven, it can't be here too. We can be here, but sometimes somewhere else in our spirit, sometimes thousands of kilometers away. I know that happens. It happens in church sometimes, doesn't it? During the sermon, I find it happens to me. If I'm listening to the sermon, then my mind wanders and I can be thousands of miles away. So you can be physically in one spot and your mind is elsewhere. We can be thinking sometimes of dear ones who are far away from us. Some of us have that experience, right? Our family lives far away and then it can seem like we're there. But we're not. You can't cause those people to feel like you are there with them. A husband who's away on a business trip can know that my wife is thinking of me, but that doesn't bring her here. But see, what we can't do, Jesus can do. And he does it. With respect to his Godhead and majesty, grace and spirit, he's never absent. He is everywhere present. He is here right now. Here right in this church. And someone is praying and he hears you. And he's in South Africa where another one of his people is praying and he hears them. He's here and he's there. Jesus is always, day and night, in sickness and in health, in sad times and in glad times. He's always with all believers, not a single one is ever forsaken by the Lord Jesus Christ, not even for a single moment. And Jesus has the power and the love to let us feel that he is with us. Alas, we don't always have the desire for his presence. And it happens so seldom that we are actually aware of his presence. But when things are right between a believer and his Lord, then we desire his presence. We don't want to be anywhere if he's not with us. And we recognize it and we experience his presence. The more we seek his presence through prayer and studying the Word of God and the administration of the sacraments, the more we will find him. And it will be true. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. How else do you think, dear believer, that you're going to finish the race that is set before you without Jesus? How could the martyrs face impossible sufferings if Jesus were not with them? His grace is theirs. His majesty shields them. When the enemy tempts us to think, Jesus has forsaken me, let's not believe him. Sometimes we think we would do so much better if Jesus was really here. Don't believe that for a moment. Think about that. If Jesus were physically on earth now, how many billions of people would never get to see him? Could never even get close to him. And if it would be possible, it might only be for just a little moment and you'd have to leave again and he would have to go somewhere else. Children, maybe you think if Jesus were still on this earth, walking around as a human being so everyone could see him and could speak with him, then many more people would believe in him. Thousands of people who now turn their backs on him would bow before him. Many people who now say, well, I would believe if I could, they would be cured of their unbelief if only Jesus were here physically. What a blessing that would be, we think. Sometimes as children, and even as adults, we dream like that. And it sounds so good, and so reasonable, and so logical, but it's totally false reasoning. Because the most important matter when it comes to a sinner and the Lord Jesus is faith. The beginning and the middle and the end of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life is faith. And faith does not come by seeing someone with your physical eye. When Jesus was on this earth, thousands of people saw him with their physical eyes and did not believe in him. Faith is something that the Holy Spirit works in sinners' hearts. In Jesus' days, when Jesus was walking on this earth, those people who followed him had to believe as well as we do. And Satan's battle against their believing was just as fierce as it is against ours. Think of Judas. Judas had daily personal dealings with Jesus. You would think, of course he believed. No, he did not believe. Thomas was as unstable as sand until Jesus came and girded up his faith. The requirement that's involved in the promise that Jesus is always with us is faith. When you believe that promise, then you experience that Jesus is with you. When you do not believe it, you will not experience his presence. Sometimes people say, I'll believe it when I see it. Or, I'll believe it when I feel it. And that's just completely backwards. No, says Jesus, you will see it when you believe it. And you will feel it when you believe it. You cannot feel what you don't believe. So people say, I don't feel that Jesus is with me. And if I ask you then, well, do you believe that Jesus is with you? Then you can only say, no, I don't. And why don't you believe it? Because I don't feel it. That's backwards. No, beloved. He says, I am with you. Then you don't say, well, I don't believe you, Jesus. No, you say, yes, Lord, I believe it. And then you will experience it too. Jesus' human nature is in heaven. His divine nature is everywhere. So that his divine nature is also always with his human nature in heaven, and his divine nature is with us here. And that's true, whether you believe it or not. But you will not enjoy his presence if you do not believe it. You can't enjoy it if you don't believe it. The third thought is the advantage for believers in Christ's ascension to heaven. First, we're going to sing 420, verses 4 and 5. The Lord is great, his might untold, his chariots thousandfold. 4 and 5 of 420. The advantage of Christ's ascension for believers. Three of them listed here. The first is that he is our advocate in the presence of God. A representative who's speaking up for us in the presence of God. The Lord Jesus Christ as our only high priest. You remember in the Old Testament, the high priest was allowed once per year in the Holy of Holies with the blood of the atonement. And he would bring incense before God and sprinkle blood on that mercy seat. That happened in God's presence in the Holy of Holies, and a holy cloud would come, and that would be the sign of God's presence. But now, the Lord Jesus, after offering himself on the cross, is in the Holy of Holies. Remember, on earth, that Holy of Holies was made by people. So it was imperfect. But where Jesus is entered is the Holy of Holies of heaven. And there is no holier place. It is the only really holy place in the whole universe, the dwelling place of the triune God. And there Jesus now appears before God's face, dear believers, as our advocate, as our representative, as the one who takes our case, as the one who offered himself for his people. And there with incense of his prayers, he pleads for all his people. And he prays with divine love for all his dear followers. And we can reverently imagine that he holds his wounded hands before God to remind God how he suffered in our place and nailed our sins to his cross. And for a poor, guilty sinner here on this earth, that is unspeakable comfort. Let's by faith see what John saw in his vision on the island of Patmos in Revelation 8. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And it goes on to explain that angel that John saw was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the ascended one, who we're thinking about this afternoon. Don't despair then, but take refuge to your advocate in heaven. Oh, it's true. Our sins here and now cause a division between God and us. They stand in the way. They take away our freedom of access to God. Sins press us down. But now we hear from the Holy Word of God that our great high priest, who is our advocate, never forgets us. He speaks and he pleads for us guilty ones. He lays his hands on our imperfect, sin-stained, often selfish prayers on the altar. And he purifies our prayers. And through his intercession, we are strengthened in the battle. And he grants grace and peace in our souls. Is that not an advantage, dear believer, of having Christ Jesus ascended? He's your advocate in the presence of God. Secondly, we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will take also up to himself us, his members. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of his church. We may think of him as the commander, the general of the Christian army. And we are here in the battle. No, not a battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and spirits and principalities. And we are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Timothy. And we have on our whole armor. We're still in the battlefield, still members of the church militant, fighting a heavy battle against sin. The mighty enemy comes against us, but we have nothing to fear because our head, Jesus Christ, already won the victory. And he still leads his army from the stronghold of heaven. Yes, this Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he's never absent from us. Even though with his human body, he's already in heaven, we shall follow him. Our flesh, his human body, which is like us in all things except sin, is already in glory. He's in heaven as our sure pledge that we shall arrive there too. As I was writing this sermon, I thought about, I don't know if it works, but when I was in grade 8, our PE teacher, Mr. Burnett, taught us how to jump on a trampoline. And he said, wherever your head goes, the rest of you will follow. You want to do a flip, you got to put your head in that direction and the rest of you will follow. Wherever your head goes, the rest of you will follow. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our head, dear believers, is already in heaven. And the rest of him will follow. He's there as a sure pledge that we shall arrive there too. Here in this time, sometimes people pledge, they make pledges, promises to pay donations in the future, but can't always keep their promise. But this is a sure pledge. Let's then see our trials and afflictions in this lifetime the way God sees them. We wrongly think that afflictions are against us. They are not. In the Lord's hands, afflictions are working for us. Listen how Paul puts that in 2 Corinthians 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Don't think when you're being afflicted that God is against you. It's working for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. What a comfort this affords to the people of God. Let us often think, let us often meditate on our head, Jesus Christ, because where he is, we shall be one day. And a third benefit of the ascension of the Lord Jesus for believers is that he gives us a great gift. He sends us his Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus entered heaven as the victorious general. And as he has gained the victory, he shares the bounties. And according to his majesty, he is a very generous king. Psalm 68, the other ascension psalm. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yes, for the rebellious also. So that the Lord God might dwell among them. How does the Lord God dwell among his people? He does so by his Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ dwells among his people with his Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given us as a guarantee or a down payment. He, Jesus, has our flesh as a pledge. And in exchange, he gives us his Holy Spirit as our guarantee. And that Holy Spirit is the one who strengthens us in the battle. He's the one who draws believers unto him. He's the one who teaches us to think and to seek the things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The psalmist was right. I am a stranger here. It's because we don't belong here anymore. Dear believers, we belong above. Our home is above. The Apostle Paul writes of that, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Don't you agree with him? To depart and be with Christ would be far better. We don't always feel that way. I don't. We're so much hindered by our sins. to do our Christian duty, which is, according to Colossians 1 verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, beloved, when we see the sad state of the church, how earthly minded we as God's people often are, neglecting God and His Word. When we consider that we are to be the light and the salt of the earth, then it can raise the question, are there any real Christians left? And am I one of them? And yet even as we ask that question, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not despair, because our advocate is in heaven, and He never forgets His church, though the church has forgotten Him days without number. He never forsakes His child, though His child forgets about Him. Despite all our weaknesses and all our shortcomings and our transgressions, He is still our head. And He sends His Spirit again and again to revive us again, reminding us, set your thoughts on things above, where our incorruptible, unspotted, everlasting inheritance is being preserved for us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to conclude the way the Catechism concludes here in Lord's Day 18. He sends us His Holy Spirit, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and not the things on earth. That's a paraphrase of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Where Paul writes to believers, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Just think about that for a second here. If you then be risen with Christ, that's not a given. We can't take for granted that every person is risen with Christ. Not all people are risen with Christ. Unbelievers are not. And yet Paul says, for all believers, this is true. You are risen with Christ. And that being true, there are certain actions you are called to take. Certain characteristics of believers. Seek those things which are above. Seek there is a command. It means to search or look for those things which are above. What are those things above? What will you find when you seek the things that are above? Well, Paul tells us that's where Christ sits, on the right hand of God. When it comes to seeking those things which are above, it is seeking a person, Christ, who sits on the right hand of God. That's what we're thinking about, right? He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections, says Paul, on things above. And setting your affection here means have this in your mind. Think about the things above. Give serious consideration to these things. Let your mind dwell on, fix your attention on, meditate on the things that are above, which he has just summarized. Meditate on Christ. Think on the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your thoughts on Him, not on things on the earth. Keep thinking about the things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. All too often, our thoughts are here, and we are seeking the things of the earth. Paul says, no, you are risen with Christ. No, seek those things which are above, not the things which are on earth. What are the things above and not the things on the earth? Christ Jesus, who is now in heaven. Are you seeking the things that are above? Are you seeking the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, begin to seek Him today. Those who seek me early shall find me, says the Lord, because I love them that love me. Turn to Him today. Believe His gospel today. Is your mind set on Christ Jesus because you have discovered that down here and in here is all emptiness? If you are seeking the things above, setting your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, then acknowledge that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that you do that. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that I am what I am. And use the means of grace that God has instituted for this very thing. To seek the things above, His holy word and His holy sacraments. Study the word of God every opportunity you have. Maybe for some of you, it's time to make some choices. What is worth giving up for studying your Bible? Maybe it's time to set or reset some priorities. What is more important than being in church when the doors are open and it's your group's turn? What can be more important next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock when the congregational prayer meeting is held and it's streamed live on sermon audio? What can be more important for you to be doing at that time with your family? But to tune in and seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Oh, beloved congregation, seek those things that are above, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. In your private Bible readings, in your family worship with your children. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things above. Set your mind on Christ in heaven, not on the things of this world. Sometimes we complain, don't we? I'm so earthly minded. Why is that? Because I'm not actively seeking the things which are above, where Christ is. I'm not actively setting my mind and thinking on the things that are above, where Christ is. And when by the grace of God, I am seeking the things that are above, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus Christ gives us as His gift, as our ascended Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for the precious truth of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess it every Sunday. He ascended into heaven. And Lord, we know that so often we say those words without giving it a second thought. But we pray now, as we have been reminded, O Lord, what this all means, and what awesome blessings and advantages and privileges there are for Thy people because Christ is ascended. Lord, help us more and more to realize our position as being raised with Christ and to set our minds on the things that are above, where Christ is, not on things of this earth. Lord, it is all so empty and fleeting here. And we pray, Lord, loosen us from this place that we may echo with the psalmist, I am a stranger on this earth. Lord, be with our children. Oh, we pray for them that even in their childhood, they may follow the Lord, that they may be seeking now already the things that are above, seeking the Lord Jesus, finding Him. Lord, be with those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and do not love Him, are not seeking Him. Oh Lord, intervene mightily in their lives even today. Lord, we pray for Thy blessing on Reverend Bout and Reverend Pronk as they will be preaching here on the coming two Lord's days. Lord, bless Thy servants and grant that the sermons they preach may be richly blessed for all of us who listen. And take care of Gail and myself as we travel to visit our family. Lord, give us safety and bring us back again to be reunited with our church family once again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.